talking about for about 8 weeks now is flourishing. And the text is found in Psalms 92 from verse 12 down. In our previous text, we spoke how when we are planted in the house of God, we shall flourish in the courts of our God. And our focus text was the courts of God. We explained to you how the courts of God under the old covenant referred to the tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon, the temple of Zerubbabel, the temple in Ezekiel's time, and also during Herod's time, and what was taking place in those courts. And we saw the degradation by the time that Jesus came onto the earth, how it became commercialized, and Jesus took out his whip and began to chase all the money changers and those that were doing business. The courts of the Lord in terms of flourishing for us is now about seeking justice. It's about defending the poor. It's about taking care of the fatherless, taking care of the widows. And we alluded to that through many, many texts. I would encourage you to listen to the message again so you can get the context of what we shared. Today, our focus is Psalms 92, verse number 14. Psalms 92, verse number 14. They shall still bear fruit in old age, excuse me, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. So if you read the context from the previous verses, it simply means those who are planted in the house of God shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. And it leads into verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age, and they shall be fresh and flourishing. So one of the benefits of being planted in the house of God is flourishing in the courts of God, bearing fruit in old age, and still being fresh and flourishing. Now, we have throughout the scripture a promise of what we call long life. And I just want to lay a foundation before I get into some of the principles that I would like to share this morning. It says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. Now, the promise of long life or extended life or length of life is made on several occasions throughout the scripture. I will just use one text just to highlight it. In Psalms 91, verse 1 and 2, and many of us are familiar with Psalms 91. The first portion of the scripture talks about a location, talks about a place where we need to dwell. And it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. That's the sort of the text that leads into many of the other verses. So when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty, then it starts to tell you what the benefits are. And Psalms 91 verse 14 tells us, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, which is the promise, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So firstly, we have to know that the secret place is no longer a secret location. The secret place is now a person. Christ is our secret place and he is our hiding place. He is our refuge. He is our covering. We abide under the wings of the Almighty, just as Jesus said to Israel, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, how I wish to gather you as a hen gathers its chicks, to provide, basically to provide covering, security, and safety. So Christ is our dwelling place, our hiding place, our secret place, and we are in him and we have our life in him. So Christ is our dwelling place. But Christ is not only the head, Christ is also the body. So While positionally we are in Christ, practically on the earth, we also need to know how to position ourselves to be in Christ. So while Christ is the head, he also has a body. And therefore, on the earth, the secret place is also the body of Christ. And that is also the place where we dwell. So when you read Psalms 133, it will also tell you now of this place that is a secret place or a dwelling place. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers or the brethren or the body of Christ or the church to dwell together in unity. And it tells you there's a precious oil that comes down upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, and running onto the edge of the garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing. And what is the blessing? Life forevermore. So long life or eternal life. Now, long life can be life in the physical and life in the natural, where our years are extended and we live a long life while we are on the earth. But I've come to understand that to receive fresh oil for long life, you must have a dwelling relationship with the body of Christ. You must learn how to live in unity with the body. And the reason is because the body is able to supply strength to you. So whenever we come together with the body of Christ, whenever our hearts are joined together, there is a supply of strength that comes to us. And I believe that that supply of strength is the Zoe life of God. Because there the Lord commands the blessing. What is the blessing? It is life forevermore. That's the Zoe life. The Zoe life is able to influence your natural life. Because it is the power of endless life that comes from Christ our high priest. In Psalms 133, it is referenced to Aaron the high priest. But in the New Testament, Christ is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So there's an oil that flows from his head, which is called that life that is forevermore, or the power of endless life. And the power of endless life is the Zoe life of God. This is different from ordinary life. Just like divine grace is different from common grace. Common grace is skill and talent and education and intelligence that you can acquire. But divine grace is that which is imparted to us, which becomes inherent in us. In the same way, there's a life that is imparted to us because of the power of endless life that flows from Christ. You are in Christ, but to demonstrate that, you have to be connected to his body. And when we are connected to his body, every joint supplies strength to us. That is why in your weakest moments or the most, the times of great difficulties that you face or the trials and the challenges that we go to, it is so important to be connected to the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is able through prayers, it is able through interactions, it is able through words of comfort, exhortation, prophecy, declarations, decrees, all these kinds of what we are used to in church have an empowering nature that transmit to you the Zoe life of God. In that, your ordinary natural life receives a supernatural impartation of Zoe life. It is in that that you get long life. It's so important to know that. So a commitment to the divine connection of the body of Christ. Just this week, we buried Mike Pillay. Mike Pillay was diagnosed with cancer 10 years ago. But the extension of his life was because of the connection to the body of Christ. And all of us knew that he was very dedicated to church and dedicated to city meetings. And whenever he would have a chance, he would always be there together with his wife and his children. So you can extend your life, just like Hezekiah understood how important it is to go into the temple and to pray and to seek the face of God But the temple is no longer a physical building. The temple is now we, the body of Christ. And I'm encouraging you that even though we are separated in the flesh or face to face, you can still remain connected to the body of Christ. And by doing that, the power of endless life comes to you. This is how you receive long life. Now, because of that dwelling relationship, Psalms 91, the latter part of it, gives you some of the benefits. And it says that the result of this secret place dwelling, the result of this joining, the result of this connectivity to the body is the following. It says in Psalms 91, the latter part that I just read, it says, because he has set his love upon me. Now, how do we know we love God? We love his body. We love the brethren. We love the word. So, because he has set his love on me, it says, therefore, I will deliver him. So, deliverance from whatever situation you are in is dependent upon setting your love on Christ. A lot of people love God, but they don't love his body. That is hypocrisy. You cannot say you love the head without loving the body. It's so important to not separate the head from the body. You must understand that the head and the body are one. So you can't have just a relationship with the head and not the body of Christ. When you have a relationship with both, then there's a flow that comes to you and deliverance is available to you. Secondly, it says, I will set him on high. This is exaltation. Now, the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he lifts you up. So when you are with the body of Christ, you are humbling yourself before the body to receive the grace that is in the body. When you receive the grace that is in the body, there's a lifting, there's a setting on high, there's an exaltation that comes into your life. Thirdly, it says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. This is a place where you get your prayers answered. Too often people are praying their independent prayers, praying their isolated prayers. But I've realized something, that when the corporate prays, when there's a corporate anointing of prayer, God answers our prayers. It says also, I will be with him in trouble. And oftentimes when we are going through trouble, we feel lonely. We feel like no one is with us. But the Bible is clear that when you are connected to the secret place, when you are connected to the body, God says, I will be with you in your trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Yeah, God is also talking about how God will dispense respect and honor to you because of your connection to the body. And that last part, that which is the focus of what we are talking about, with long life, I will satisfy him. So, long life is not because you drink green tea and because you eat vegetables the whole day or because you are following the fasting, 16-hour fasting diet, or because you exercise 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. No, that's not long life. That is to maintain an image for everyone to enjoy. And it is also to take care of yourself. But long life, which is the life that comes from God, because you can have long days, but not fruitful days. You can have long life, but not a satisfied life. There's a difference. So you want long life, but a satisfied life. And that life comes because of fulfillment of being connected to the body. So I hope that that sort of helps you to understand how important it is for us to be connected to the body so that we can experience this long life. Now, while we all want to lead long lives, or we want to live long, or we want to have old age, or we want to see our children and our children's children, and if possible, their children, you must also lead fruitful lives. Sometimes it is not the length of days, but it is what we did, or the numbering of our days. The Bible says, teach us to number our days. Then to number is to weigh your days. Now, yeah, the verse is telling us that Psalms 92, it says, you shall bear fruit You shall still bear fruit, rather, in old age. As you get older, as the years go on, you still bear fruit. Old age often hinders people from serving God because there's a whole lot of complications that come with getting older. I don't want to get into all the details. Most people who are planning for retirement and planning for, should I say, as they get older, they see it as a time from rest of from their labors and also maybe enjoying their labors. And yes, that is the privilege of old age. Older people must understand that the value of their experience together with their faith makes them a very valuable asset in the kingdom of God. And while we look to the days of our rest, we must know that the experience that we have had as sons of men on the earth, together with our faith as sons of God, make us very valuable for generations that follow us. And therefore, in our old age, if we want to bear fruit, the consideration is, what is the legacy that we would leave to those that come after us? And therefore, in old age, while we consider retirement, we plan for retirement, we plan to rest, we plan to sort of take it easier in life, if that's a better word to use. But know that it is so important in the kingdom of God to still be bearing fruit in your old age because of being planted in the house of God. Old age is not an excuse for becoming redundant in serving God. I admire old people that still want to be in the house of God. They love to be in meetings. They love to be where the word of God is preached because they have come to realize, maybe without having the knowledge or maybe even in ignorance, that this place is a place where I am receiving Zoe life that is actually extending my life on the earth. But it is not good enough just to want to live long. It is important to live your days with great fruit. Now, we know that Abraham was quite old when he had Isaac together with Sarah. They were well advanced in years, the Bible says, and they could not have children. Now, I'm not advocating for all the old people to go and find a croony and have some children. Please don't misunderstand what I am saying. I'm simply want to point out something very important to you in the context of Abraham and Sarah. They were well advanced in age, but Abraham was sitting at the tent door and he saw the Lord. He saw these three men coming towards him and they spoke as one representing the Lord. What did he do? He said to them, "If I have found favor, let me set bread before you. Let me set water before you. Come and take time to rest." Basically, even in his old age, Abraham was ready to serve the Lord. Get that in your spirit. Even in his old age, he was ready to serve the Lord. And as he served, and the Bible will tell you that whatever he did it quickly. He did it immediately. He said, "Let's get the kid. Let's get the kid of get a goat and let's get the bread and let's get everything ready because we want to serve the Lord." It spoke about his passion in serving the Lord. And by doing that, he received a promise of a son by the name of Isaac. And you know that Sarah laughed, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have the pleasure of my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Even in our old age, you must believe that nothing is too hard for the Lord in terms of us bearing fruit. When we are ready to serve the Lord, we always produce Isaac. Isaac means laughter. Isaac basically is a symbol of joy. Isaac is a symbol of the promised son. Galatians 4:28, "Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, and Christ is the promised son." Know that in old age, when you serve the Lord, then you also receive joy. And joy is a powerful medication to strengthen you in your old age. Most times you will meet older people that are very upset in life. They are grumbling, they are complaining. They are always finding fault with things. They are always criticizing because they are really upset in life with a lot of issues. And because of their experience in life, sometimes of the hardships that they have been through, it is even written on their face and it comes through their language and it comes through their actions. But those that serve the Lord, they are always producing an Isaac in their life. They are always experiencing laughter and joy because they are ready to serve the Lord. I tell you, when you serve the Lord, there will always be joy in your life. When you are ready to be of service to the kingdom, with whatever your hand can do, you can do it with all your might. And because you are ready to serve the Lord, some people have the grace to pray for others. Some people have the grace to counsel others. Some people have the grace to cook for others. Some people have the grace just to be a blessing to others in some way or the other. And in serving the Lord, I tell you, joy floods their life. When Michelle and I were in Bible college, I will never forget this mother and daughter. I think the mother was 86 and the daughter was already in her 60s, moving into her 70s. And I remember that day at Bible college, they used to make sandwiches for all the Bible college students every day. And so after our first session at 10 a.m., we used to go to receive our coffees, and this couple, this mother and daughter, in their old age, they had committed to making the sandwiches and making the tea and the coffee for the students. And for all the time that I was there, they were there. And whenever you would go to get your coffee and you go to get your sandwich, they would have something encouraging to say to you. They would confer blessings upon your life. They would talk about praising the Lord. They would be singing a song. And they did that for years and years. I'm thinking, here's a lady, she's 86 years old. What is she doing making sandwiches for me? And there was a time I was ready to go on my first mission trip. And it was to a very, very difficult country. It was very scary. And we didn't have the finances, but I had an invitation and we prayed about it and we decided that we were going to go. And so we were talking to her, talking to these ladies. And these were her words to me, just like we read now that the Lord said to Sarah. And the question was, is anything too hard for the Lord? And every day she would say, young man, don't worry, you are going. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And as we received her words and received her prayers, the Lord answered our prayer, provided all the resources that we need. We went and we had a successful trip and came back. What did I see in those two old people, mother and daughter, serving the Lord with great joy? Me as a young man just entering the ministry at around 22, 23 years old, they were blessing us as a generation to follow. Today I am still in the ministry. Their prayers have gone before us. And they would always tell us, we are praying for you. We are thinking of you. They would confer words of grace upon our lives. We are fruit of such prayers. They were bearing fruit in old age because they were planted in the house of God and they were ready to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Don't suppress your Isaac. Don't suppress the joy that God can give you when you are ready to serve him. Think of Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old when he took his inheritance. In Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 to 12, I'm not going to read all of it. Caleb is recounting how when he was 40 years old, when Moses, a servant, told him to go and spy out the land, and he brought back word about how the land is fruitful. And now 45 years has passed and Yeah, I'll read it for you in the book of Joshua 14, verse number 10. And now indeed, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now here I am this day, 85 years old. As yet, he says, I am strong this day, as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. Here's a man who is 85 years old. He has waited 45 years to see those words come to pass, and he receives his inheritance. And I'll tell you why. When he went over into the land to spy it out, when he came back with a good report. He saw an opportunity. He saw the fruit. He did not see the giants. He did not, everyone else was complaining and grumbling. But Joshua and Caleb were so excited to go and possess what the Lord had promised them. I tell you, if you want to live long, be excited about serving the Lord. Be excited and full of joy about being in the body of Christ. Job died full of days, the Bible says. Job 42, verse 16. And after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. You know why? His wife told him, Job, why don't you curse God and die? But he said, I can't do that. Will we only receive the good things from God and not the bad things? He said, will we only rejoice in prosperity and not in the adversity? Job's words were one of remembering the goodness of God in his life. And despite the many challenges that he faced, he hung on to the Lord. And by doing that, he died full of days, as the Bible says. The psalmist writes in Psalm 71, verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of my old age. This is his prayer to the Lord. Do not forsake me when my strength is failing. And the latter part of that psalm in verse 14, it says, but I will hope continually. I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth. And to this day, I still declare your wondrous works. The psalmist says in verse 18, now also when I am old and gray-headed, oh Lord, do not forsake me until, listen to this carefully, until I declare your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. He is saying, Lord, don't forsake me in my old age because I want to declare your praise and your righteousness. I want to declare it to this generation, and I also want to declare your power to everyone who is still to come. Meaning, I want to bear fruit to the generation that is now and the generation that is to follow. What powerful words in the psalm when a man is feeling old and he's gray-headed. Now, we must declare the strength of the Lord to the next generation. Declare his power to those who follow. We must believe that we will not go to the grave sick and grumbling and complaining, but full of days. When we are planted in the house of the Lord, brethren, you can still bear fruit and be fresh and flourishing even as you get older. Now, I've covered this before, but it's so important for us to know the kinds of fruit that you need to bear in your life. And even as you get older, remember that fruit matures. When you think of the vine, you will see the grapes hanging on the vine. And over time, those fruit, they say, they get better and better and better because they mature, because the vine is also maturing. As the vine matures, the fruit also matures. As our relationship with the Lord matures, who is the vine, and we as the branch that is connected to the vine, as we go through pruning, as the Lord lifts us up when we are not bearing fruit, as I shared in a previous session, you will bear not just fruit, more fruit and much fruit, but mature fruit. And that fruit is called fruit that will remain. How does it remain? It remains in your loins. It remains by what you pass to this generation and the generations that follow. This is when fruit remains on the earth. But it's not any kind of fruit. It's mature fruit. But we must see this fruit through very practical means in terms of how we leave spiritual fruit in the lives of those that follow us. Romans 7 verse 4 says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. Married to who? Even to him. Who is him? It is the head. You are, it says, you have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, meaning you are now in the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. The another is Christ the head. Even to him who raised him from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. That we should bear fruit to God. So, what are the kinds of fruit that we need to bear so that it can leave a lasting legacy for us? Number one, you need to bear financial fruit. Philippians 4 verse 15, the Philippian church took care of Paul on many occasions. And he says, no church was sharing with him. But he says, you sent aid once again for my necessities. That's why he says to them, you are partakers of God's grace in me. So they became shareholders of the grace that was bestowed upon Paul. And they did it because of the exchange of finances. And this is what he says to them. Now that I seek the gift, sorry, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit. So there is financial fruit that abounds to your account. So by the exchange of aid that was sent to Paul, an apostle of Christ, one who was dispensing grace to the church, the Philippian church was now going to bear fruit that would abound to their account. I call this abounding fruit. Abounding fruit means an overwhelming number of fruit that can be produced because of a financial exchange. It is so important to know how to bear financial fruit. And financial fruit is born by teaching sound biblical financial principles to your children and to their children. You can demonstrate it through your own financial giving, but it is also important to teach it to them. What they do with it as they get older is left to them. But may the example of your life cause their eyes to open so that they do not get trapped with the elements of this world, as I spoke about yesterday, but they see that the kingdom of God is built on sound financial principles. That must be passed to your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and it will bear fruit. And this is the fruit of abundant giving. It is so important to teach our children about tithing, about sacrificial giving, about giving beyond your measure, about first fruits, all of the kind of financial principles that we have built into our lives must be passed down. At the same time, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So, sound financial principles, which we call stewardship, must also govern our lives if we want to see fruit in our old age. A lot of people start saving when it's too late. If you are a young person and you started a job, after the first 6 months or 1 year of your job, you should start thinking about investments, whether it's 5 year investments or 10 year investments, so that when you get to that age, you will receive your investment. When you get to the next age, you will receive your investment. And in that way, you can build your life. It is not affordable in life to just buy a car or to just buy a house. This is why we have credit facilities available to us, because it's just not available. So can you imagine, even if you want to go on a holiday, it's not just possible. It requires great planning. But if you take a policy at age 25 and you pay for 5 years, at age 30 you can cash it out and you can do something significant with it. Even if you take a policy at age 30 and you decide to cash it out when you are 40, you're taking a 10-year investment policy. And yes, life is not so simple. Lots of things can happen in life. You don't know about tomorrow and what tomorrow holds for you. The Bible will tell you. You cannot predict what will happen. But you have to do what a good man is supposed to do. You have to leave an inheritance for your children's children. So it requires sound financial planning for your future. This is such a vital aspect. Now, when you look at the older people, they used to have a system called a lottery system, which still exists up to today. In the lottery system, it was a saving where money is basically collected together and it's given to one individual. So if there are 10 people within the lottery, they would take, say if each person is paying 500 rands, that's 5,000 rand, they would give it to one person in the first month, and that person would have that 5,000 rand, which he would have never had if he had to, if he just had to work a normal job. But they developed a system which was financially sound. It was not earning interest, compound interest, etc. But it was giving them a chance in life to bear some fruit. People built their houses. People bought cars. People started businesses. People did a lot of things through the lottery system. People today are still doing it. I give you a savings plan every year. You know why I'm giving you a pause and a selah? Because this is the last month for the savings plan. You should have 13,000 rand at the end of this month. The savings plan is a very simple plan, but it is trying to help you so that at the end of the year, you can have some finances to do certain things that you would ordinarily not be able to do. So financial fruit is a vital aspect in your life. You should not be spending more than you earn. This is bad management. And you're going to pass it down to your children. Don't pass debt to your children and your children's children. Pass an inheritance. This is where you bear fruit in your old age. And it's because you are planted in the house of the Lord where you learn sound financial principles, both in the kingdom of God and also to manage yourself in this world. Secondly, if you want to bear fruit, or the right kinds of fruit, you have to understand that fruit is born by the indwelling Spirit of God. What do I mean by that? I shared this with you before. Gifts are given, fruit is grown. Galatians 5, 22, 23, all of us know about the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 9 and 10 also says, for the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, righteousness and truth. And we must understand that the indwelling Spirit of the Lord allows us to produce spiritual fruit. That spiritual fruit is seen in our conduct. Okay? The conduct is evident by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of this is seen by the way we carry ourselves and our character in this world. This is the indwelling spirit of God that allows you to bear fruit that can be passed from generation to generation. The change in behavior does not come because we go for anger management classes. No, it comes in partnership with the Spirit of the Lord. While you might go and see people to help you get through the difficult challenges in your life, like a psychologist or whoever you would go to see to try and help you. And yes, we can see experts from time to time that can give us advice to deal with the situations that we are dealing with. One of the crises that we are going to face now is depression because of this COVID-19. The state of people that are depressed is growing day by day. And we're going to have this is going to be a different pandemic where people are going to be so depressed. This is so important to know how to tap into the indwelling Spirit of God and bear the fruit of joy. Bear the fruit of peace. That in the midst of the most difficult times in our lives, the indwelling Spirit of God bears fruit. As we grow older, we learn how to conduct ourselves in the midst of all kinds of challenges. And that gives us an advantage. You have an unfair advantage over this world. The way you deal with grief and challenges is different from the rest of the world. Study the Davidic model. When David's son died, he just asked the question, "Is my son dead?" He had to accept it. The next thing the Bible says, he went and he washed himself, he anointed himself, he dressed himself, and he went into the house of the Lord to worship because he knew there was a place where there's an impartation that comes into his life to overcome being depressed and being sad and being grief-stricken. Yes, we cry and we mourn, but we do not stay in the valley of the shadow of death. We pass through it. Because his rod and his staff, they comfort us. This is when you know the indwelling Spirit is bearing fruit in our lives. Just two things I shared with you: financial fruit and the fruit of the Spirit. It is so vital to see that we can flourish even as we get older. We can bear fruit in our old age and be fresh and flourishing. Next week, I want to talk to you about the fruit that we see in the life of Joseph and highlight to you some important aspects for all of us about fruit bearing. The Lord bless you. Amen.